Bookworm Banquet, Episode 10, Review of Dragon Slayer Beginnings.
It's time to satisfy your literary cravings. Welcome to the Bookworm Banquet Show with your hosts, JD and Nicole.
Hey there, Bookworm. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Just a quick reminder before we get going. Show notes for this episode, which include links to everything we talk about today, are at bookwormbanquet.com/10. Well, today we're going to be reviewing the fantasy novel Dragon Slayer Beginnings by Carrie Green. Nicole has a fact about a dog who really did eat homework, and I've got a tip coming up about literary t-shirts, so we hope you'll stick with us for the rest of the program. Before we jump into the review and the rest of the content, Nicole, what have you been reading lately?
Well, lately I have, rediscovered that very good author that we all like and love. I'm sure if you're a Christian fiction reader at all, you know the name Ted Decker. He's been around for quite a while, and I read him years and years ago and just recently decided to pick up a series that I hadn't read by him, and it's the Circle series. I just read the book Black, and I will tell you, if you are interested at all in a high adventure, very exciting book with a lot of biblical parallels and a lot of excitement and a really good, almost kind of a C.S. Lewis type feel to it, some kind of changing in the storyline from different worlds, then this is the book that you should really pick up. And you, JD, have you been reading anything like that?
Well, I want to second what you said, because I've read that series, I think, three times through now, and it's one of my favorite series of all time. I love those books. So if you haven't checked them out yet, definitely I would recommend those. I don't know if this is too strong to say, but I think I mentioned this to somebody a couple months ago that we were talking about this series. And I said, I think that Ted Decker's Circle series is the Chronicles of Narnia of our generation.
Well, I don't think that that would be too strong a statement to say. That's kind of why I mentioned him in my little overview right here, this short little review, because I do feel like he is, like you said, what C.S. Lewis was, 60 years ago, he is to this modern generation of readers. It is kind of fantasy in some ways. It takes place here in the present world, and then obviously you've read it, so you know going into a different world, and there's some fantasy. Now, unfortunately, there's no wardrobe in the story, but dreams might be coming reality in this story. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. I've actually also been reading another fantasy series, The Archives of Anthropos, lately. And I just finished book two and getting ready to start on book three. They're by John White. And in fact, I think I've mentioned these before on a previous episode. And I read like book three or four years ago, because that's just the one I happened to pick up at the time, and really enjoyed it. And not long ago, started reading the entire series. I picked them all up, and I started reading the entire series from the beginning. And they are really, really good books too. So it's kind of funny that we're bringing up these books right now, because the book we're going to be reviewing a little later on is also a fantasy story. So hey, we're all on the same page here.
Well, it seems like fantasy literature is kind of becoming popular again. The world kind of went through that whole C.S. Lewis kind of, Tolkien stage. And then it kind of got away from that. And it seems like recently a lot of popular literature has come back to the fantasy realm, including Christian literature. And so it is kind of exciting. It is fun. I never thought I'd really be into that type of writing, but I have discovered that there is a part of me that can really enjoy it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, we've got a review of Dragon Slayer Beginnings coming up here shortly. Before we get to that, I just want to mention real quickly that this episode is brought to you by Adagio Teas. Now, Adagio is the premier source for loose leaf teas on the internet. Now, to find out more, you can click the button on our website, bookwormbanquet.com, and check out all of the cool stuff they've got over there. I am a customer, and I think you should be too. Let's jump into this review. All right, we're going to be talking about Kerry Green's first book in the Dragonslayer Chronicles trilogy. It is called Beginnings. It was self-published in March of 2014. And just to kick things off, right off the bat, I want to say that this is a really well-done book from a first-time author. He has written some other projects that were meant for a younger audience, so I guess I should say first-time novelist. But this is a really great story. And can you share a little bit from the summary, Nicole, just for those who may not have heard about this book, and just to give them a little summary of what this book is about?
Absolutely. You can probably tell from the beginning, this book might have to do with dragons. That's true. Dragons have been forgotten, relegated to the realm of legend and myth, but tales of horror circulate among the common people. Rumors of their attacks float on the night wind. They are a fearsome presence that haunts the memories of the old and the nightmares of the young. They are forgotten, but the important thing to remember is they're not gone. The Dragon Masters wait, a dark force lurking in the shadows of every land. They will have their opportunity, and they will rise. A young boy is stripped violently from his family and thrust into this conflict between Dragon Masters and feudal lords. Through tragedy and loss, Han is swept into conflict while battling the fear and pain that grips his own soul. Dragonslayer Beginnings is a story of life and the growth of faith in the midst of loss. It's about the battle every person goes through to become more than their past has destined them to be. He is the first. He will be the best. He is the Dragon Slayer. And then, as you said, there are going to be two more books in this series. One's already been released, and the third he's working on right now. So that kind of gives you a brief overview of what this book is about. Obviously, dragons, dragon masters, and a little war that's going to happen, and one boy who might stop it.
Yeah, and he's caught right in the middle of all of this.
Exactly, and it's not his fault that he's caught in the middle of it, poor kid. And I think that's probably one of the things that appeals the most about this story. And we're going to talk about writing style and stuff here in just a minute. But it's kind of that wonderful type of story where a person gets stuck in a situation and they have that opportunity to do what's right or to do what's wrong. And he makes a pretty interesting decision.
Yeah. So I thoroughly enjoyed this book. I'm a fan of the fantasy genre in general, as I've already stated, but it's not always easy to find books in this genre that are clean and wholesome and not filled with a bunch of garbage. So this was a pleasant read.
I agree with you there. It seems like if you're going to read a fantasy book today, there's going to be, number one, a lot of magic in it, some witchcraft, things like that. So especially when you're dealing with dragons and the like, and as a Christian reader, that's not always a comfortable realm to delve into. And so I don't usually read those type of books. So to find a book that is fantasy, that does deal with dragons, and to have it faith-based was a really nice, refreshing read, I think, for me.
Yeah, and as we delve into some of the themes and some of the things that are addressed in this book, I think it's a really interesting look at the effects that traumatic events can have on a kid. You know, this little six-year-old boy gets suddenly thrown into this situation, and he's got to struggle through all of these emotions and everything, and all this stuff kind of wells up within him and kind of manifests itself in some really interesting ways later on in his life. So it's just not one instance as a kid that this horrible thing happens where, and this is not a spoiler, but it happens right at the beginning. He loses his parents and gets ripped away from his home. And, you know, he's having to deal with being an orphan and trying to make sense of why all this happened.
And to just kind of pique the reader's interest just a little bit, I don't know if we mentioned it already or not, but he's not just ripped from his family, but he is actually ripped from his family by a dragon. The kid is kidnapped by a dragon, and that in itself would shock anybody, and then much less being a six-year-old child and not quite knowing what's going to happen to you. So from the get-go, I will say that this book does grip you. It captures your attention. The very first scene, as you said, this is not a spoiler. If you're going to read the first 10 pages of the book, you're going to learn this. this boy, there's a village, there's a dragon attack, and a little boy gets kidnapped and his family, obviously torn from his life. So from the get-go, it is one of those books, you know, you talk about if you're going to read a book, it's got to capture my attention. So if you're looking for a book that's going to grasp you from the first page, then this is that type of book. So he did a very good job right off the bat, bringing in his readers, creating a scene where you immediately feel. You feel for those parents. You feel for the boys. You're scared about the dragon. You feel for the village. And you're immediately emotionally wrapped up in this story.
Totally. Yeah. Cary Green did a fantastic job by just pulling you in from the very first sentence. And I'm going to actually read the first two sentences of this book just to illustrate how he starts off this book and how this is how a good novel starts. You know, it just pulls you in from the very beginning. And it says, as Han awoke, the sky outside his window was dark, but the room was as bright and hot as if it were midday. His hair and nightclothes were soaked with sweat. That's the first two sentences and the first paragraph, and it just like immediately you're picturing what's going on in your mind and trying to make sense of what in the world's going on, you know?
Yeah, you immediately start asking questions. Why is the room light? Why is it dark outside? Why is he sweating? What is going on here? And of course, knowing he's a little boy obviously is going to pull anybody's heartstrings there. So very, very good opening. Very first several chapters, very, very engrossing.
And in terms of characters that really stand out, I mean, there's a, as with most fantasy novels, there's a lot of characters and there's switching back and forth between different storylines. But there are a lot of really strong characters that stand out that, as the reader, you kind of empathize with a little bit, and some of them you really relate to on a deep level, especially the main character of Han. But some that stood out to me was the character of Rowan, and who is a soldier, and he's just a great, strong character who's not without his flaws, but just a great role model in the story. And then there's a few others that you kind of feel where they're coming from, but you still don't like them, like Lord Thurmond. So what are some of the characters that stood out to you?
To me, I think that obviously the main character, Han, really stood out, but I really liked Gerard. Now, he's a character that you meet a little bit later in the story. He is kind of that solid character. There's never really much deviation in his moral compass. He's just a good character. He's kind of like the guy that shows up to save the day. He always seems to be in the right place at the right time to help those secondary characters. And so he was a really good character. And I thought it was interesting. Some of these characters you meet in the very beginning and you watch them grow and you watch them change, obviously like Han, but even Han's father, he does a lot of growing and changing in this book as well. And you kind of see how life and the sorrows of life and the pain of life teaches them lessons and creates in them completely different person later on. But then you meet characters like Gerard that when you meet them, they're fully developed characters, really. And there were several characters like that, Lord Kendrick being one of them and some other characters. And it's not until later on that all of a sudden the author kind of drops a small grenade on you and you learn some things about these characters that you didn't know before. And so the character development kind of goes back and forth where you're watching some of them grow and then some, oh, you think they're just wonderful. And then bam, it hits you and you realize, oh, this is why they are the way that they are. And I thought that was really kind of neat the way that he did that, just kind of interplaying these characters and their connections to each other really showed some depth of personality and their own inner character.
Yeah, that's a really great point. We kind of touched on this a little bit as far as some of the themes that are addressed, but, you know, struggling through adversity and how to overcome. And sometimes it's just illustrating how not to react when you're going through these just extraordinarily difficult times. So I think the main theme that stood out to me is just perseverance.
Oh, absolutely. Perseverance. And to me, this is your very typical, and I don't say that in a bad way. I don't mean typical by, you know, run of the mill, but I mean, this is a good versus evil story, and everybody likes that. You root for the good guy, you want the good guy to win. And obviously, the dragon is evil. And so you have a visual manifestation of what is evil. But then you have the right versus wrong, not just with this is the right thing to do, this is the wrong thing to do concerning the dragon attacks and things like that, but also an inner moral kind of self versus self. I'm angry about life and the things that have happened, but what is the right way to respond to life? And so you have a lot of that struggle that goes on too. There's a lot of really good dialogue in this book between a lot of the characters about how to keep going on and about really trusting God and about trusting His will in your life and trusting that. What I kind of got out of it is sometimes doing what's right doesn't always work in your favor, but it's still the right thing to do. And in the end, it's worth it. And so you kind of learn that along the way with these characters is, yeah, you've got a whole good versus evil going on here, but being good and doing right doesn't always work in your benefit. But in the long run, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, yep. There's so much that we could discuss about some of the different moral lessons that could be pulled from these pages, but you know, I think it's more fun for the reader to discover them on their own as they go through the story. So I don't want to give away too much more, but I would just say that there are portions of the story that are really fast moving and that are keep you turning pages. And there are portions that are a little bit slower. So it kind of gives you time to breathe and pace yourself as you're going through the story. So overall, I think the approach that Cary Grene took to writing this story was pretty even keeled, and I think it works pretty well for this genre of story. Any comments on that?
I do think that he spans a lot of years in this book, and I will say that I know it's a trilogy, but my personal opinion is this could be like a 6-book series. There's so much that happens in this first book, not giving anything away to our audience here, but it does cover many, many, many years in this one book. And so part of me felt like, wow, he could have taken this one book and written 3 books just out of this one story that will tell you how much is in this book. But even having crammed that much time and so many things, I think that he did a pretty good job at it. You do get a really decent story out of this writing.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to note that these stories came out of stories that he would tell his kids. And so when they were younger, he says that on road trips or at bedtime, you know, these stories would just come out of him and he would begin to tell them to his kids. And at some point he decided to write them down and put them into a book. So I, for one, am glad that he did.
I am too. They're definitely worth the read if you're into, and even if you're not into the fantasy genre, this would be a good book for you to kind of get your feet wet with. It's a really good focus on that genre, but also a really good mix of that Christian fiction.
So I would recommend this book for probably late teens, probably for reading on your own. There are a couple of instances of mild language. And of course, there are some violent things that happen to some of the major characters in here. So if that's a concern, then you might want to, as a parent, maybe wait until your kids are older to read this to them, or maybe skip over certain parts as you're reading it. But for older teens and adults, I think it's a great book.
I agree. This is definitely for an older audience. There is a lot of, obviously, violence, a lot of sadness, a lot of adult issues that happen in this book. And there are some real evil characters, and they can be a little bit scary for younger children, especially the dragons. That can be a little bit, I think, overwhelming for the little ones. So definitely, I wouldn't even say middle school age. I would say older teens and obviously adults. But I would recommend it for male, female. It does not matter. I enjoyed it. JD enjoyed it. It's definitely got an audience appeal.
So what are you going to rate this book, Dragon Slayer Beginnings?
I'm going to give this book a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
That's crazy. I had that in my head too, 3.5, because I was like, I don't remember if we've done fractions before.
Oh, okay. But
I was going to say the same exact thing. So hey. We did get some feedback on some previous episodes that they thought we didn't disagree with one another enough. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but hey, I think 3.5 too.
Well, here you've got it from the book experts. We give this a 3.5 star rating. If you are interested in any type of fantasy writing, this is the book for you.
And it is available as an ebook and as a print book. Links are in the show notes at bookwormbanquet.com/10 if you are interested in picking up a copy.
Tidbits about authors, their lives, and their work. It's Nicole's Bookworm Fact.
All right, JD, today's bookworm fact is a little bit personal for me, okay, and probably not in the way you're thinking. For those of you that don't know, I am actually a teacher. That's what I do for a living. And you always get the excuses about why I don't have my homework done. And I promise you, in the years that I have taught, I've heard them all. And yes, I have heard the dog ate my homework. Now, chances are, if you give me that excuse, I'm not going to believe you. But I have here a very interesting bookworm fact about an author of a very famous book whose dog literally did eat his manuscript before it was published.
Nice.
That man would be John Steinbeck, and that book would be Of Mice and Men. Now, this is a book that actually had a different title as well. It was supposed to be called Something That Happened. But it's, if you've ever read it, you know it's not a very happy story, but I do find this to be a rather funny side note for it. He left that manuscript home one night with his new puppy. Now, mind you, it was 50% done at this point. He was halfway finished with this novel when he came home to find that his puppy, by the name of Toby, by the way, had eaten his manuscript. Now, I don't know how John Steinbeck did it. If you've ever read any of his other books, you know that they tend to be rather long, and Of Mice and Men is rather short. So maybe he just threw in the towel and said, all right, I'm just going to do what I can remember. But he actually wasn't upset too much. He said, I was pretty mad, but the poor little fellow may have just been acting critically. So there you have it, your bookworm fact. Somebody really did have their work eaten by their dog.
That is a great story. And I can relate to that because when I first got the dog that I currently have, he destroyed so much stuff. He tore up electronics, you know, phone charger cables all kinds of stuff. And he did tear up a couple of my books. In fact, one of my Ted Decker books he ripped up because it was on the coffee table and he pulled it down. So.
Oh, no. Out of all the authors, really, he's going to pick Ted Decker.
Luckily, it was a hardcover, so he did some damage to the cover, but most of the pages were still intact, so I still have that. It's on my bookcase right now.
With his teeth marks. Well, I don't know how Steinbeck did it. Being a published author, I'm sure he had to be horrified, but there you have it.
That's awesome.
Random recommendations for readers. Here's JD's bookworm tip.
Now, if you've heard our previous episodes, you probably remember in a previous tip, I mentioned a service called Poster Text and how they take the text of classic literature and they put it on a poster in an image from that story. I know I'm not doing it justice describing what they do, but today I found another service that is very similar, except they do that with t-shirts. The website is Littlegraphs, and they have a huge selection of t-shirts that are created entirely from the text of books. So they have a whole section of American literature, British literature, children's literature, contemporary, epics, you know, sci-fi, everything. So some of the ones that they have in the American literature category is The Great Gatsby, The Old Man and the Sea, Moby Dick, and The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And so they're just really, really cool. The Oz shirt shows kind of an image of the tornado with the little house in the middle of it, and all around that is the text. And so of the novel. It is really cool stuff. So link in the show notes if you want to check out Littlegraphs and their selection of t-shirts made from text of classic literature and other books. And side note, they also do have book tote bags doing the same thing with a text on there. So these are just really cool, great gift ideas for the bookworm in your family, or if you just want to treat yourself. So there you go.
That sounds very, very cool, actually. Graphic tees are still so very popular for whatever reason. So if you're a bookworm and You like graphic tees. That sounds like it's right up your alley. So once again, today's episode is brought to you by Adagio Tees. Kick back in the armchair with a good book and a cup of Adagio tea. Adagio is the premier source for loose leaf teas on the internet. They've got black, green, chai, herbal blends, or you can create your own blend. To find out more, you can click the banner on the sidebar on our website at bookwormbanquet.com.
And if you would like to get in touch with us, you can always do that by sending an email to feedback@bookwormbanquet.com. You can send a text message or give us a call on our feedback line, which is 623-688-2770. Again, 623-688-2770. And if you didn't get it, hit rewind and you'll hear me say the number again. Show notes are at bookwormbanquet.com/10. And we would love to hear from you if you got any feedback on the book that we discussed today, any books that you would like to hear us talk about, or any literary topic that you would want to discuss. And if you head over to bookwormbanquet.com, we are starting to post a series of quote cards with different quotations from authors or about reading and those kind of themes. So be sure to check those out. Also, we're starting another series of posts, which are, would you call them jokes or one-liners? What would you call those, Nicole?
I would call them facts, JD. Just kidding. Probably bookworm jokes. But if you are a bookworm, they're not going to be that funny to you because you're probably going to find yourself, like I do, nodding my head and going, yes, that is me.
So it's a whole series of you might be a bookworm if kind of jokes. And so we're going to be posting those, you know, once every week or two on the site. So keep a lookout for those. But all of that's at bookwormbanquet.com, and it kind of, as my dad used to say, I resemble that remark. So I think you will relate to these one-liners and have a lot of fun with them. Share them around if you want to, but all of that's at bookwormbanquet.com. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to share the show with somebody that you think might enjoy it as well. We'll see you next time.
Bookworm Banquet is a production of Porchlight Family Media. Our theme music was composed by Sam Avendano. Bumper music by John DeLay and the 41 Players. Our announcer is Janessa Cooper. The program is produced by yours truly. Our website is bookwormbanquet.com.